You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Hey, it's Mae Whitman, and I play Frankie in the new Realm podcast, The Sisters. The Sisters is about a museum curator of medical oddities who investigates the origins of a mutated skeleton with two layers of bones. Soon, she uncovers an extraordinary mystery that connects her present with one family's tragic past in hauntingly dangerous ways. Listen to The Sisters wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Scam Wow! I'm Caitlin Bradnick, and we love Sue Smith, and we love scams! Guys, welcome back. This is our first guest back from break. He is our breakthrough kid. Is that what you call him? Our breakthrough baby!
I think you're going for comeback kid.
Thank you. Thank you for correcting me, and he'll correct me this entire time. Guys, we are so lucky. We have my neighbor, the first guest I've done in person in like almost 2 years, because for a while I just did it online because of Lewis. We are in person. We're doing an interview with Brandon Saloy. Am I saying it right?
Because we're neighbors. When would we ever say each other's names?
I'll never say it again. No. Brandon Saloy, and he is my downstairs neighbor of my building, the place we call Raccoon View Terrace in Astoria, and I am delighted. Brandon's also a fan, which is like very complimentary. Very nice that he even knew who we are. Guys, please welcome Brandon Saloy. Saloy? Saloy.
Hello.
Hello.
How was your break?
Well, the break made me want to go harder, stronger, longer.
That's what we like.
Like all pornos. I just was like, I need to get back to the scams. And I will tell you, I was explaining to Brandon, guys, all of our Patreon lovers, Patreon patrons, you will hear Brandon and I having a deep, way too personal talk on our front stoop.
It is intimate.
It is intimate. And you know what? That's what you pay for. And we appreciate it. But I have been scammed like 3 times in the past month, and it is because we have not been recording Scam Wow, and I have been losing my edge. Gone.
Let's get right into it.
I need to get right into it. Okay, here are all the ways I've been scammed. I bought a dress for, last episode I was talking about, the wedding that I scammed myself into being a bridesmaid, maid of honor, mother of the bride, sister of the bride. Like, I'm taking all positions.
You're actually the bride.
It turns out I could totally sub as a bride.
A blushing bride.
Love to blush. Love to wear white. Oh my God, I picked this outfit. So I'm going crazy. I spent like thousands of dollars on ASOS to return it and only buy a dress that's like $100.
But Which is the only way you're allowed to shop at ASOS.
Only way.
Yeah.
If you buy one at a time, you're losing a lot of
money. It's sort of built into the business.
It is. But I was like, yikes, my credit card's shocked. This is not normal. So then, because I was like, I don't want to be all ASOS. What if I get another dress from this other cheap place and then try them on and return them? Well, this other cheap place was a lie. Ooh. This was one of those places where you say like, what I ordered and what I got. And I'm going to show Brandon pictures right now of what I ordered. And guys, I'm going to put it on my Instagram so you can see. But I got something that was supposed to be a bustier dress. Taffeta, ruching.
ruching.
Gathered strawberries on lace, and this is what I got.
Caitlin. Okay, first of all, what you described could be six different dresses.
That's true. I gotta show you what I got. It is, also, the picture I showed Brandon, my eyes are closed and I'm smiling and quite sweaty.
Sweaty strawberry shortcake.
Yeah, it is.
We love it.
The cups are on my collarbone. It's supposed to be a bustier. It is so horribly done. It doesn't fit in any way.
Was that open?
Yeah.
Was it just
No, that's just because I could not zip it up to save my life.
Oh my gosh.
It is polyester polka dot, like I was in Bye Bye Birdie. The other dress I got from them was a blue, like supposed to be really pretty down to the ground dress.
Oh, that's pretty.
It's okay, but if you look at the side boob, it has literally like made a triangle on my tit. Very ugly. This one that I got from them was supposed to be a thick cotton, and it is like one of those dresses that you get like at a mall in Mexico. Like it's like a very thin, that crinkly cotton. Mm-hmm. All of it was a lie. All of it was
you. But you really can wear primary colors though.
Those are my colors.
Wow.
Those are only my colors, reds and blues. And I was told that when I was like six. My family was like, you look good in blue and red, honey. Keep it. And that was it.
That royal blue on your skin tone is really
my favorite.
Nice.
I'm loving an emerald green. Mm-hmm. I'm loving it. Yeah. So I researched them. Even when after I purchased it, I saw that their website was made in like 2021. Oh, no. They have like four Instagram posts. All of the dresses I did see on also my Korean skincare website.
Oh, no.
So the dresses are just copies of other dresses. I think one might have been a Rodart that they copied. And it's bad, guys. And I don't know how I can return it. It's going to be for something anonymous. They're going to say it's lost in shipping. And I've lost like $150-something. Because it was three dresses around like 40
before you
50.
Even leave for the wedding.
Before. Just so many
scams. What did you
scams.
End up wearing? Has this wedding happened yet?
It has not happened yet, which is why I'm continually to be scammed. I'll be scammed in 2 weeks too, I'm sure. I also decided that I was going to be in charge of like the bridal shower bachelorette party. Okay. I have made stencil DIY gifts for all of the women. I made little slippers that say batch bash.
Oh, you went full Etsy. Just one woman Etsy.
Oh, all over myself. And then I have baggies that have candy in them that I'm hiding from my son. He's like, can I have one? I'm like, no, you cannot. Nope. It's for these strangers I've never met before.
For these strange women that I know.
I have sunglasses that say bride tribe.
It's for a group of gals.
A group of gals who I hope to never meet again. Just kidding. I'm sure they're all listeners right now.
Like, let's check out that chick Caitlin's podcast.
Yeah, she's so fun. Nice. Is she trashing me? No, I love everyone, but I am going like way too deep in this.
Yes.
And then, you know, and Alan was like, why did you spend so much money? And I'm like, you know, because I'm weak. Because I'm weak right now. I'm having a weak time.
You don't have a podcast.
Don't.
Yeah. So.
No, I was casual.
Yeah.
So also I'm wearing headphones for no reason.
Guys, Caitlin said we're in person. We're basically touching each other.
We are. We're so close. This is so exciting. And we're both vaccinated. It was so funny. I knew the second that anybody got vaccinated, I'd be like, I'll lick your face. Like, I knew that, like, I would create a new level of intimacy with everyone. Because I was so excited that life would start. I'm so happy. Okay. So that's out of the way. That was VIP. Guys, we are here because Brandon loves this amazing story. Do you want to take us through it? Because you came to me and you were like, I want her. I want
to
do her.
Early in the pandemic, I have no idea what brought me to this woman.
Who'd ever knows?
But a book arrived by mail that I ordered.
Okay. So you did order it.
I did order it. I don't know why. I literally have not. I asked Daniel the other day. I have no idea why I ordered this book. But I ordered the biography of Isabella Stewart Gardner.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been hooked ever since.
I think you told me, you're like, did you know about this lady? Knew nothing.
Oh, and I would bring it up to people like at random points in the
like
day.
It was like Bill Clinton. Yeah. You know, Isabella.
But basically, Isabella Stewart Gardner. See, I had heard about her and her museum because yes. I have family in Boston.
But also, you are an art guy. I'll say, guys, Brandon knows so much about art.
Oh, he, so much.
You visit museums really for fun, though. You know so much more than most people listening, I'm sure. You majored in art, right?
No.
All right. Well, you can graphic lie.
Design, and I took quite a few art history courses.
Then you can just lie and say you did. Okay, guys.
Got my master, went back. Hold that.
Yeah. And so he works in design, mm-hmm. and he's so creative, and he paints. It's so fun. So we have that kindred spirit. So that brought you to it, not just because it wasn't like you're a baseball fanatic fan. You're like, right. I love Boston.
Let's look at
Isabella.
Going into Boston.
Yeah. No, you like art.
Well, see, the Venn diagram of my interests are art and eccentric old women.
Oh, yes.
So basically, that is true. So she had me hook, line, sinker from the beginning.
She did. He loves a crazy lady. We said on our Patreon, he loves it. You have to follow his Instagram, guys. Can you say it so they can just get on it right now as they're listening?
It's just Brandon Saloy, isn't it?
Great. Perfect. It's going to be in our show notes.
Yeah.
And he will just show you like a picture of like a casual woman having a nervous breakdown and then a beautiful painting in front of it. It's amazing.
That's absolutely my brand.
It's my favorite.
Yeah. I started reading her biography and just fell in love with this woman who, I mean, basically her claim to fame was she was just obscenely rich.
Yeah.
And
if only.
And just had a keen eye for collecting art.
Yes.
And a really vivacious interest in it.
She was quite ferocious. Like, yes. She was just like, I want it now. And I was reading too, she made friends with this Harvard grad, this like young boy, mm-hmm. who I was like, were they in love? But I think he was gay.
So she had a lot of men. That's another thing. It's like, so she had this idea once she had amassed like a pretty substantial collection.
Yes.
That she would start showing it off. And basically she turned her home into a museum. But then she collected so much art that like her home was no longer big enough.
Right.
So her husband dies.
That's when it really took off for her. Everything I read is like, that guy died and she exploded onto the art scene.
And it's interesting because he wouldn't have stopped her. It was his idea for her. He said, oh, sweetie, like, this isn't working out like this. You need a whole other building.
And it's her money too. Like, she was the rich people.
Well, he was very wealthy and she came into it with a lot of wealth.
Okay.
But he was like, yeah, sweetie, like we need, like, we're running out of room. It's basically us in our, in our small apartments, and our husbands are like, please stop bringing home things.
Yes.
It was that. But instead of saying you need to get rid of this, he was like, you need to build a separate building for this.
Which is incredible. Yeah. What a dream. What a dream to be rich.
So he died.
Cha-ching.
She goes straight to the bank.
Dance is over.
She gets an architect who hates her.
Ooh, I didn't know that detail.
Because she just wanted a lot, and she knew exactly what she wanted.
She wanted to create something that looks like Versailles.
Like a Venetian
palace. Right, and she's in Boston.
Yes, Boston. Yeah. I mean, what are you going to do? You're in Boston.
Right, and she got like, wasn't it a wet space, like a wetland? It was fully
on a marsh.
Yes.
The Fen. Yeah. Yes. To this day, it overlooks the Fen.
Yeah, so it's like a gross-ass place, and she's like, we're going to turn this into Venice.
But like, Boston was nothing.
No. She also, I read, just went to Boston because she liked how the literature was. She liked being around the Harvard kids. She sort of liked that intellect place because she could have gone anywhere.
Yes.
I read, too, that she had a son died under 2 years old.
Yes.
And the doctor said, take her on vacation, which vacation. I don't want anything tragic to happen. Just take me on vacation.
So, that really kicked off her fascination with antiquities
and other worlds and Egypt.
She had been, as a young girl, like as a teenager, they sent her off, as you know, wealthy families did. They were like,
can't keep that kid.
Pal around Europe. And they had to make sure they sent her to this school where she would be very much in line, but still like be able to see Europe.
Yes.
But so she returned, as you said, after she lost a child.
Yeah.
And before that, she was like bedridden. Like,
oh,
I'm sure she had physical ailments, but I'm sure a lot of them were like manifestations of her depression.
Extreme postpartum.
Extreme depression, yeah.
Trauma, yeah.
So, as you said, Jack Gardner takes her away, and girl, she physically had to carry her onto the boat to leave.
Really?
She came back, girl. She was like swiveling hips.
She's the comeback kid.
Yeah, she really did.
Oh my God, those hips don't lie. My God. What a dream.
But I think that trip they went to Europe, they went to Spain and France, I think. But they took other trips. Like, they took a trip where she really wanted to go to Cambodia. And Cambodia wasn't even a place, like, that you went to.
Really. It was quite exotic then, in the sense they didn't really have that much tourism as well.
And like they would be like in tiny little boats, and then like their people would like pitch tents. Like it wasn't like they went to like a boutique hotel.
It wasn't
glamping. Yeah, it was not that.
It was quite rough.
But I love this story about how years later there was some Boston society lady who really wanted to get her and like sort of make her look a fool. So they're sitting at lunch at some place, and this woman thought she would bring up, she was like, oh, I'll bring up a place that Isabella hasn't been to so I can talk all about it.
And make her feel like shit.
She's like, what should I do? Something really obscure. She brings up Cambodia. And Isabella's like, oh, well, when I went to Cambodia. Yeah.
She's like, when I was given a shot of adrenaline in Cambodia. Fabulous. She's fabulous. So what was really cool about her, and I think this is great with a lot of very smart engineers and people that like someone who's the head of, I don't know what the word I'm looking for, like head of huge corporations, like a Steve Jobs. I mean, like they team up with a lot of really smart, young, eager people. Yes. So she had, not only was she interested in all this Venetian art, but then she had these sort of art students, mm-hmm. philosophy students, like other students that went out and found it for her. So her collection was much of a group yes. effort, even though she took all the credit.
And it's interesting that you bring up like a CEO sort of vibe, because that really was, like, she had a lot of control over things. Like, I say her architect hated her. It's because she knew exactly how she wanted.
God forbid a woman.
To build. Yes, exactly. Like
in that age.
And honestly, visiting the museum and knowing that.
Yeah, guys, Brandon visited the museum. He went.
Yes.
He was a scam spondent. He went to the place. He knew he was coming on this podcast. He visited. He asked me if I could go. Didn't know where it was for a second. Had a little, like, conniption.
Caitlin agreed, and then I was like, yeah, we'll take the Acela. We'll come back in the evening if you don't want to stay overnight. And she's like, where is it? And I said, Boston. She's like, oh, I cannot go.
Oh, there's no way. I thought we were taking a little trip down to, like, Long Island. I had, like, had a laugh.
A little jaunt.
A jaunt. But no, I was like, I have a baby. There's no way I'm going on the Acela.
It was like she had such a clear vision and had such control over this project.
And you said you...
That was unheard of for a woman to have at that time. Like, it was absolutely not done.
And a widow?
Yes.
Like, completely on her own?
There, like, Isabella Seward Gardner did, like, sketches in her book when she was away, and, like, there are rooms in the museum where she physically, she mixed the paint herself.
Good for her.
She showed the painters, like, the shade that she wanted and mixed it. Like, she was an artist.
And she really had a clear vision. I think that's amazing because there's so much, especially in anything when you're also creative, there's a lot of apologizing. There's, like, I remember you said you walked in and you text me, like, this is the most beautiful place I've ever been.
It's so breathtaking when you walk into it because, like you said, it's like a total Venetian palace. Yes. A lot of the elements that you see... She didn't have, like, commissioned for the building. They're actually from Venice, from ancient Venice. And they were brought
over. She's not buying that shit.
She'll
buy it.
She sourced it, like, from, and then stored it in warehouses for years.
Wow.
And used it all to build a new building.
And she knew it was coming. Like, she's like, I will hold on to this because I'm going to need this, like, palm tree etching.
And oversaw the placement of every single element in the whole museum. But yeah, you walk in and you enter through this courtyard.
And it's gardens, right?
So stunning. It's like, it takes your breath away.
Well, what's so fascinating is even now, like, guys, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but like, I don't know many museums that you walk into and it's just immediate garden. You walk into it and it is a building. There are multiple layers. There's like that sort of style of like, I'm sure it's Venetian, but it's very like New Orleans where you have like two layers up and the high windows and you have a balcony that looks over. But you walk in and you guys can look it up online and there's palm trees and it's a beautiful garden inside.
It's so lush. And the funniest thing is... there's a giant domed roof on the courtyard.
Amazing.
Which was very new for the time that it was built.
Oh my God, yeah.
And later, the museum had to build like a UV screen over it and coat the window so like the paintings wouldn't be ruined over time.
Right.
So now actually no light can really penetrate it for the plants. So the plants are changed out like every couple months.
Wow.
So you're always seeing something
new, fresh plants.
And because of that, there's a new concept like every month.
I'm sure she would have loved that. If she would have had the excuse to rip everything out and redo it, she would have. I'm sure. Because so the wild thing with all of this, it starts with, now Brynn's going to go to all of her idiosyncrasies, which are so funny, but in her will, when she does pass away, it is said, and it is notorious, that nothing can be moved or changed in this museum. Yes. And this really sets up the scam that we're going to talk about. And if you guys have seen it or not, it's called This is a Robbery. It's on Netflix. It's a documentary on her and this incredible heist that is still like the largest art heist.
Unsolved art heist.
Unsolved in history. And I kept watching the documentary going, Alan, can we just get to the end? I need to know who does it. And he's like, hey, hey, no, we still don't know. No one knows. I'm like, this, I was so mad. It was like magic, how much I hate magic. Like, I want to know the end. I want to be in on it.
Alan was the Greek chorus. He was like, nobody knows.
No, nobody knows. This is why you hate magic. This is why you can't sit through many movies. This is why you ruin every mystery. Like, I can't. So that's where we're taking you. We're setting up the scene because an enormous art heist is... happens in 1990.
Yeah.
Still unsolved. Mm-hmm. And the part that makes it so ridiculous is because in her will, she has said you can't move anything, the paintings, because she's so specific, because she mixed the paint herself. Now, if you go visit the museum, there are empty frames where people cut out the pictures that they stole. Yeah. And there was 13 in
it's
total.
It's so eerie to see them just empty there.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/realm.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out the Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Find the Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
I think it's amazing. Do you think there was a part of her that was like, if there's some tragedy, if something crashes or breaks, leave it. Like, that's what life is. Like, do you think that part of her knew?
I had always heard about the will and how strict it was to not even move anything.
Okay.
Like, to remove something is one thing, but you can't even, like, move something.
Move a chair, no.
Like, they can like, pick it up to dust and, like, restore, like, all that stuff.
But
it
could be put fucking right back.
Yes.
Mama's watching. Yes. Mama's watching from
and
somewhere.
That I always thought was so strange. I was like, I don't understand that. Going there, you immediately understand, because it is the way that she has arranged all of these artworks so that they are speaking to each other. Like, it's not even that everything is, like, so thematic. Mm-hmm. It's the way that you have a piece from, like, I don't know, like, ancient Turkey, and it's right next to a high Renaissance painting. And there are elements from the vase you're looking at that you can tell influence the early Renaissance, and they're having this conversation. Like, the vase has a pattern on it, and the pattern sort of matches the brocade on the lady's dress in the painting.
Right.
So you're having this, like, cross-cultural conversation between art pieces. And one of the cool things about it is there are almost no plaques anywhere that say who did the painting, when it was painted,
where it came from. It's not about that for her.
It is not about that for her. She wants you to have a purely emotional response to these pieces of art.
That's incredible. Yeah. Well, also, it's sort of like she is educating the viewer as well. She goes, you're going to have this experience. I'm going to curate it perfectly. And then she's saying to you, yes, the Renaissance painting is so amazing and so fantastic, but this artist must have been influenced by someone else. Right. So she's kind of showing you the path that that artist took.
Yes.
So she's having you understand the trajectory of it so that you can feel how that artist felt. You can see where he was inspired.
And there's just no other museum that I know of that you would see things juxtaposed in that way.
Purposely. And, yeah, usually it's like, here's Renaissance, here's modern, here's
And
this.
In that way, it's sort of like an anti-museum. Like, it's not totally
when you're rich, you can do whatever the fuck you want.
Oh my gosh, you really can.
That really is. That really is the method for her madness. She's just like, I'm so rich, just go fuck yourself.
Yeah, and it was sort of like the hear me out of the century. Yeah. It's like, hear me out, this will work. I swear it'll be amazing.
Hear me out. I'm rich. I'm a widow. I got tons of cash.
It's sort of the perfect tie-in to this podcast. Yes. She herself was sort of a scammer.
Now tell us about that. Now, guys, we will get to the heist, but I want to hear about this woman because she's fascinating.
Like, she had to sort of scam a couple of these paintings into America.
Tell me everything.
Because back then, like, just, like, the taxes that you would have to pay to import, like, masterpieces into a country where they were originated.
Oh, and I also feel like it was a boys' club. It was, like, a lot of intellectual institutions passed it down. Now, don't even get me started with everything that the Nazis stole, but that's after her time.
Yeah.
So, like, there's a lot of museums I dislike because I'm like, bitch, you just took that from Nazis, from Jewish people. But anyway, I digress. shout out to my Jews. But like I feel like there's a lot of red tape to even have ownership of a painting.
And she, like, a few times, I think it was a few times, or if it wasn't, it was just one time, she got around it by having her art dealer have the painting painted over and then restored afterwards so they didn't know that it was, like, this priceless piece of art.
What?
Yeah.
How do you do that and not destroy it? I guess acrylic over
there. There are ways that, like, that you can layer things and protect them. But, like, that was done. Things were just rolled up and sent back, and she was caught a couple of times.
What can you do? Do you remember any of this?
I know she was caught importing tapestries, and tapestries were the easiest to import because you could just roll them up and they could look
it's
like
carpet.
But yeah, someone, it was really funny because she had the tapestries stored at a friend's house, I believe in Italy or something.
You gotta have a friend in
and
Italy.
Eventually, I will send for these, but for now, like, but until I can get them into the country, just keep them here.
Okay.
And the friend, either being shady or being forgetful, sent them
before, to her.
Yeah. And she had a big, fat bill waiting for her at customs that she could not pay.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because at the end, the income was not coming in.
Well, yeah, she spent that.
She was definitely not liquid towards the end.
Yeah.
And she was definitely selling things to buy things. And but it was a big scandal. Like, Boston society was really sort of done with her at a point.
Okay.
And she sort of had to claw her way back.
Oh.
Yeah, it's very interesting. Like,
there's got to be frustration because Boston wasn't thriving then.
It was also like puritanical Boston that was like, oh, you're scamming the country out of tax dollars.
Right.
Yeah.
Because it was early. This is in 1920s.
Yeah. So, yeah, like the bulk of her collection was probably the late 1800s.
That was what she bought from. But this was during the 1920s and she was purchasing all of this.
Well, the late 1800s is when a lot of the paintings were bought.
Oh, wait, I'm so confused.
And then right around the turn of the century, that's when the museum was actually put up.
Okay, so she did all the scamming in 1800s. And
I mean, I don't know about all the scamming.
But some of the fun scams.
Yeah, it happened throughout her life.
Fluid.
Yeah.
Her scamming. And then the structure was built in 1920. Yeah. But then that was also sort of like, I guess 20s to 30s is when it was sort of becoming less liquid. Because she put it all in.
Very much so.
Okay.
But then my favorite one that she had trouble getting in, it was a I think Roman Empire sculpture that she desperately wanted to
complete
the courtyard.
You have to.
And that one, she actually never saw it installed in her courtyard in her lifetime because it just wasn't, she wasn't able to get it there.
Is it there now?
It's there now.
Oh.
So it's sort of beautiful that like her vision was eventually completed.
It was.
The courtyard is like an amazing tribute to womanhood. It's really, it's really beautiful.
Oh,
like
my
it's
God.
All like it's very themed around the Medusa.
Okay.
And all of these ancient Grecian women and women in myth that symbolize strength. And then my favorite part of the courtyard is a child sarcophagus that is sort of her tribute to the child that she lost.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
She really, like, this was her Prozac, her Adderall, her cigarette.
And, like, it basically in place of the novel she never wrote, you know? It's like, it's truly like a work of art.
In place of the children she never had. Like,
it's poetry.
And she never remarried, right? Like, she just was like, this is who she dedicated it to. Now, you said she had many men in her life. I just read about this one guy who got her some of her most famous Renaissance paintings.
Berenson was his name,
He was a cute young guy. If you look him up on Wikipedia.
I've never looked him up.
He's beautiful. We're going to do it right now. Pause for dramatic effect. I think he's a beautiful.
But even when her husband was alive, she had many more male friendships than female.
Tell me about it.
Because I think they just understood her more than women this at that
beauty.
Time.
Look at his curls.
Oh my God.
I know.
He's really cute.
I know. And like, soft and sweet looking, like there's something. He's a
very
Harvard
boyish, a boyish,
very boyish. Well, she liked that boyish of him. So beautiful.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, in the Isabella Gardner Stewart Museum, they have. If you go to their website, they're like, "This is her. This is the crime." Like they're really cashing in.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, do you want to hear about this scandal? I know. Why not? Why not? It's so funny. So yeah, she's looks very normal. And she also had, like, I read that she had artists come in residence.
The men.
Sargent, yeah.
A lot of painters that she had these, like, very close friendships with would come and, like, work in these different rooms in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And, like,
and she'd spy on them and have sex with them.
all the biographies are like, did she sleep with them? Who knows?
I love it. I feel like she was a collector. Like
she was a collector. She was also a very devout woman. So I don't know if she had many affairs.
No, I don't get that feeling. I get that she is almost like a curator. Like she will curate very similar, we've said, to Caroline Calloway. She can really curate a group of people. All roads lead back. She curated people. She found talent. She found beautiful work. Like she was quite the savant in her time.
She was amazing. And I bring up devoutness because she has a chapel in the house.
Okay.
With a gorgeous stained glass window that she also imported
retained.
But like she would actually have a priest come at Christmas and just have mass for only her family.
That's the crazy thing. Brandon told us when they were creating it, when they built it, she'd had so much privacy around it. Can you tell the story of the children?
This is also said in the Netflix documentary, which why I was so happy they brought it up.
Because really
reading it in the biography, it's so juicy.
Yeah.
And it's so her because she's always finding like a loophole. A way around doing things.
My kind of woman. I love a loophole. I love also somebody who looks for loopholes like I do.
Yes.
Like I'm like, okay, we see, like sees like, I like what you're doing.
So music was also extremely important to her. And she wanted music.
And to your cat.
She wanted music to be a part of the museum as well. So she wanted this like beautiful music hall
and
to
have
be
concerts
built.
Yes, and have people concerts. Enjoy it. Yeah.
And she was a patron of the Boston Philharmonic, and she knew a lot of the musicians and the conductor.
She knows everybody.
She knew everybody.
She gets around.
So she is almost finished with the museum.
Mm-hmm.
The building is almost done. The music hall is the last component.
And no one has seen it yet.
No one has seen it.
Yeah.
Like, closest friends are like, please, can I see it? She's like, no, ma'am.
Get out of here.
So she wants to test the acoustics of this music hall, which is very important.
Yeah.
She does not want anyone to see the music hall or any of the museum.
Not to experience
it's not done.
It.
No. It's not done.
It's not her way.
So she was also a contributor to the School for the Blind.
Yeah.
So girl calls in a favor.
This girl.
She says, wouldn't the children love to hear the Philharmonic play on a lovely afternoon?
Wouldn't the children?
Of course they would. So So she just brought in these blind children.
Tons of blind people.
To just absorb sound in this.
Check out the acoustics. And
like, I also love that her sound check was with the Boston Philharmonic. Like,
it wasn't anybody else.
It wasn't like she called like a quartet off the street. No, she literally called in the Philharmonic for an afternoon and they played.
That's amazing with the blind children. And also everyone does benefit, but what a crazy creative turn.
So crazy. And like you said, no one was hurt.
No.
Everyone was all the better.
Everybody was better, but you're just like, okay, I guess you could do that. I guess that's an angle we could go through. No one else has probably ever thought of that.
Serving her agenda.
Just getting philanthropy.
Through philanthropy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. All about money, all about those Benjamins. She's amazing. So, okay, guys, so we're going to bring you to the heist. Now, the thing that I've noticed with this is that I read, too, that when Isabella died and when she passed on, she gave the head of the museum manager, curator, whatever they're called, I don't know the name, what's it?
Yeah, something like a museum manager.
Yeah, museum person, artistic director.
Yeah.
Was this guy who lived for a very long time. Wait. We have to stop right now.
Please start over.
Okay, wait, guys, there is, before we get to the heist, there is a photo done, I mean a picture, painting done by Singer Sargent.
John Singer Sargent.
John Singer Sargent of Miss Gardner.
The last portrait.
Looking like a mummy. Just draped in blankets. And this is how I live on weekends. Oh, like, it's so amazing. She didn't say for my last portrait, please take like a beautiful boudoir.
Oh,
she
no.
said, I'm going to sit on a couch. I have blankets all over me, all over my head.
Oh, I mean, this was when she was really old.
Yes.
There were, I'm sure the heating in that place was not great. So I'm sure she was always just draped.
Freezing. Yes.
Freezing and draped.
Freezing and draped.
She could not walk around the museum.
No, she suffered a stroke.
So she was literally carried in like a rickshaw around her place.
Which is probably what she wanted from the beginning. Oh, if I'm being honest, she wanted a rickshaw from the get-go.
Not like those gondolas.
Yes.
The things that you
yes.
pick up.
Like the
yeah.
queens
oh
of Nefertiti and stuff. Yeah. So that is so fascinating to me. So she's. That is a ridiculous picture. But okay, if I'm looking at, okay, the first director, Morris Carter, mm-hmm. who was the secretary and former librarian of Museum of Fine Arts right. in Boston, he cataloged the entire collection and actually wrote a biography on her. So he was it from 1877 to 1965.
Right, I forgot he was the sanctioned biographer.
So long,
too.
Yeah, for so long.
Morris Carter, I think, also lived in the museum of with course. Her at the time, but like before she died.
Yeah. So then George Stout was there. He was very long term. And Roland Van Nostrand Hadley. So then they hand it over to Anne Hawley and she just gets fucked. She was there for 6 months. And the robbery happens.
Can you imagine?
I can imagine because that's my biggest fear, and I think of that. That's like my nightmare God. Where somebody goes, Caitlin, you have to do this song and dance from a chorus line, and you are like three of the parts, and it's I wake up in a sweat.
Very relatable.
Very relatable.
Very relatable.
But like they throw her in here. She was new. It was exciting. She was young. She was a woman. I think she was the first woman.
Yeah, first woman.
And what was happening at that time is things became very, very laxed. There were a lot of repairs that needed to happen. So
they didn't have air conditioning. Can
yeah.
you imagine?
They didn't have air conditioning. They had a leak that was affecting their paintings. Like, they had extreme issues. So she is there trying to, I'm sure, with some dignity, like, she's trying to gain control of this and ask for respect yeah. as a female in this situation for her first time in 1989.
Absolutely.
And then 6 months in, a heist happens. And the reporters, the news people are just like, ask her questions.
Hounding her.
She has no idea. She hadn't even, like, she was working her hardest to literally make sure paintings weren't getting, like, water damage. So she hadn't become abreast?
Yeah.
Yeah, she hasn't been abreast on everything happening. Her breasts were not abreast. I saw.
No pun intended.
No pun intended, but her breasts were floppy. No, she was not aware of anything, and then all hell breaks loose. Guys, that was the first half of this amazing episode with Brandon. It's a little bit on the shorter side because there's just so many parts to it, we had to break it up. So we've covered everything about Isabella Stewart Gardner, and now in next week's episode, we're going to cover the heist. If you want, you can watch the documentary that we were talking about
It's a Netflix series called This Is a Robbery, and I'm dying to hear what you guys think. Who do you think did it? There are so many suspects, and you know on our mailbags, and you know I will respond to your messages. I need to know your thoughts and feelings. Thank you guys so much. Thank you, Brandon, for coming in and being our special first-time in-person guest, and thank you, Kate and Jesse, for doing amazing editing. We love you, and we'll see you next week. Bye!
Anna Sheridan, New York Times bestselling author of supernatural horror. Missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible. Is the compass broken? Or did I turn to the past?
Given the circumstances of her disappearance, someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil, so to speak.
Weak radio signal. 700 meters. Closing fast.
There's no place for ghost stories and close encounters in this investigation, or any other.
I need you to find me.
To save yourself.
Of course. What else would it be?
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.